I'm going to guesstimate the time of first serve for Nebraska, Texas. I will say 2:15, because Washington is about to force a fifth and deciding set downtown. Nebraska and Texas go afterwards, but we go right to Husker 24/7. Michael Bruns, how you doing?
Not bad.
We don't usually get a chance to talk on the radio. Instead, we have to go to a practice and sit next to each other and try and talk while music is being played at earlobe breaking levels.
The music was it was diverse this time. It was good though. I liked it.
It was. I think it covered basically if you were a young kid to an older fan that was there on Saturday. It gave everybody something that they enjoy in music.
It was there was like some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes.
There was some country. There was some rap music that I recognize, which is probably pretty old.
Outside of the music, what was real? We're all trying to tamper things that we saw. It's just a practice. There were a couple of things in terms of like how guys look that you can't dispute. But what are two or three things that you saw that are real, that is a takeaway, that what you saw Saturday, you'll see in 2 weeks, and there's a good chance you'll see on August 28th?
Yeah, I think it's, it is kind of how guys look. I mean, that's what you take from a thing like that where you don't have any, 11-on-11 full contact scrimmaging. So, I do think that, that there is something to Nebraska feeling pretty confident that this wide receiver group is the best that they've had since they've been in Lincoln. Especially if number five's out there. I think that's the biggest kind of caveat to that is, if you've got Omar Manning out there, with Xavier Betts, with Oliver Martin, with some of those guys, that's a group that looks like a Big Ten wide receiver group and definitely a much different look than what Nebraska's been able to give in the past. I think you can definitely take that. I think defensively, there's a ton of depth, a ton of experience, but you kind of knew that. But I think when you kind of see it all out there together, it really kind of pops. And that's, that was even without JoJo Doman really doing much out there. Mm-hmm. Ben Stilley's over there in sweat. So that was kind of the other thing that stood out. And then, you kind of had the guys that were kind of flashing a little bit. And I think guys that you kind of need to find a place for somewhere on the field next year. I think Javon Wright's a guy that, is definitely going to be a good understudy for JoJo Doman. But I think his athleticism and size kind of begs for some special packages or maybe, a little bit more extended playing time there. And on offense, I think a guy like Will Nixon, who really hasn't been in the conversation much, I think he's going to play a lot. So, you're kind of left kind of taking those little pieces here and there from a practice like that. Like I said, especially without, having any real scrimmage to kind of go off of and see the lines and the running game and stuff like that.
Oliver Martin, number one wide receiver?
One more time, sorry.
If you had to pick a wide receiver one, would you put Oliver Martin in that list?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I think you're talking about a former top 100 recruit, a guy that ran a 4.5 that was probably on the slower end for him. Jumps 40 inches in the vertical. I think he doesn't maybe play with the same flash as some of the other wide receivers do. He doesn't really kind of catch your eye as much, but I think when you're really watching him, he was winning the bulk of his reps. I think the fact that he's been in two other offenses probably helps him a little bit. He's been through the Big Ten a while. I think, he's definitely a guy that you can count on being in that first group whenever they go out there on August 28th. So, yeah, I'd put him in that conversation. I think I think, you know, depending on kind of, you know, what happens with Omar and then if he kind of continues to progress. But I think Oliver Martin might be a guy that's probably being overlooked by a lot of people in that wide receiver group, and I think he's going to be a big part of it.
So Saturday, Omar Manning was noticeable. I mean, first, physically, he's 6'4", 225. I mean, he could be a handle. It's, to me, it's still the big what if, maybe because I've gotten burned in the past, but I just kind of in wait-and-see mode. And if he's on the field and he develops, he can be an X factor. I want to see him go against like Newsom and Cam Taylor-Britt more often. Then Travis Fisher talks about him today after practice. In your trained eye of all the years that you've seen practices and games, where does Omar Manning fit on what you think he, where he's at and where you think he's headed?
Oh, I was trying to think back after Saturday to, you know, when you kind of first see a player during practices, and you kind of have that kind of that oh crap type reaction where a guy just looks like a different kind of player than what you're accustomed to seeing. I mean, he to me felt a little bit like when you kind of saw Randy Gregory for the first few practices when he showed up at Nebraska, just with a guy that really stands out from his teammates. You know, I think that's probably where I would put it. And I'm right there with you, though, Gary. I mean, I think, you know, Nebraska has been really cautious to, you know, not increase expectation for him. They don't go out of their way to talk about him. I think it's very much you kind of have to take it step by step where, you know, he was there for winter conditioning, doing a lot there. He's been out there for spring ball, which is a good thing. You kind of got to get him through the summer programs and fall camp. But, I mean, he's kind of in the right direction. But, I mean, there's no doubting that, you know, it's been a long time since Nebraska's had a wide receiver that just kind of, you know, passes the eye test the way that he does. And, you know, if you're talking about wanting to get the ball downfield and win more of those 50-50 balls, you know, 6'4", 225 is a pretty good place to start, I think.
Yeah. That, you know, and that, I wonder if maybe in the spring game, he'll play more with the ones, and we'll see him lined up against Cam Taylor-Britt. I'd love to see that matchup because I think Cam Taylor-Britt, in you know, they didn't throw to his side very often when they would, you know, they would go 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. I think Cam Taylor-Britt's the best player in this program.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think you know, when he jokes about wanting to play offense and be on every special teams unit, and not leave the field. I mean, I think there's that's. You know, they're going to need him to do a lot of that. I mean, maybe not the offensive part of it, but, I mean, I think he's going to factor heavily into the return game on punts and kicks. I would be shocked if he, you know, left the field very much on defense, too. And you know, I think he's definitely the best all-around player. And a guy that, you know, just from a kind of setting the tone, I think, and the way that he carries himself, I think that's really important on a defense, even though, you know, they're a little bit more of a veteran group.
How do you think Ryan Held would describe his running back room?
TBD. I mean, I think that's kind of where they're at. I mean, there's just so many moving pieces. You know, right now you've got, you know, just on Saturday you had Stevion Morrison going through some rehab work on the sidelines. You know, Marquis Steps over there with the push cart. you know, you had Gabe Irvin out, too, who's a guy that I think has really had an opportunity this spring to put himself in the mix. But, you know, I think they're kind of at the point now where you're just kind of waiting for somebody to stay healthy long enough and to kind of step up and be that guy. I mean, I think they're hoping that that can be Steph because I think he's probably the guy in that group that fits the every down, big 10 back mold the most. But it feels a little bit, you know, kind of like years past where, you know, you don't necessarily have that bell cow guy. And I don't really know that you have the guys that, you know, kind of do it by committee either. It's still, there's going to be a lot left to be sorted out in that group in fall camp. And, you know, I'm guessing that if you're Ryan Held, you're probably one of the few more answers in that room coming out of spring ball than you're probably going to have.
Michael Brunt's joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Today, after practice, linebackers talked, specifically inside linebackers. I think that's a position, if we're all in agreement, which I believe we are, that they've upgraded the talent in the wide receiver room, They've definitely upgraded the talent at linebacker, whether it be outside, but more in particular, I really like what they're accumulating with inside linebacker, and that's also with Honus, you know, not going this spring. I think they're on the right path with that position, especially with Heinrich, and I think Luke Reimer is a Sunday guy, and then the transfer from Northern Iowa who spoke today. I think Nebraska's got options at inside linebacker.
Yeah, I think I forget who it was, but somebody joked that they basically barely have enough seats to have meetings with the inside linebackers anymore because they have so many guys in that room. It is 17 guys is what they said in that position group. And you know, it's a veteran group. Getting Honus back, I mean, you would have felt like you're probably in pretty good shape even if you didn't have Honus back, and then you add him to the mix. I think Heinrich has probably as bright of a future as anybody on that defense, as long as he can kind of stay healthy. He has so far, but, you know, I think he's going to be a factor. I think Klarovic has come in and, you know, really been what Nebraska hoped he would be. He tested really well. I think he's learned the defense pretty well. And you know, I go back to, I think it was maybe the first year that Barrett Ruge was here and was kind of talking about, you know, ideally with the number of plays they have to defend, that they want to have four guys that can play at that inside linebacker spot, they can mix and match. They haven't really had that. I think probably three is the most they've had, you know, last year. So they definitely upgraded the talent. I think those guys are, you know, more in the Big Ten mold where, you know, you're going to see a number of different styles of offenses as you go through the league. And I think a number of those guys are able to not only play and kind of be physical against the run, but can also get sideline to sideline and also play in coverage a little bit too. So, you know, there's, you know, going into fall camp, who kind of comes out on top in that group, I think is going to be interesting. But if they've got four guys that they can count on, and I think they've got more than that, you're going to see a pretty healthy rotation there too. So I going back to when Scott Frost and his staff came, I want to say that was probably the group that needed to be overhauled the most in terms of talent and finding guys that could play, and I think they've done that.
Hey, let's because of your what you cover, we can hit a couple of different sports here on the way out. Let's talk about baseball. They find ways to win in different ways when, you know, pitching isn't good. They find a way late to get the timely base hit. You look on Friday, they found a way, even though they couldn't hit with runners in scoring position, late in the game, they just kept coming, and you know, Penn State didn't have enough out of the bullpen, and Nebraska wins on Friday. They jump on top Saturday early. They didn't play great yesterday, but they found timely hits, and then they got great relief work. They're 18-6. They're on a run of where they're winning series. They've still got the most difficult portion of their schedule ahead of them. What stands out the most that you think is the thing that is the most impressive about this team 24 games in?
Yeah, I mean, I think just really the steadiness of it. You know, I you mentioned just the way that they've won. I mean, if you really kind of dig into their stats, and especially recently, you know, you've got, you know, six of their regular guys in the lineup are all hitting over 300 in their last 10 games. You know, on the mound, you know, they've walked 20 guys in the last 10 games. I mean, they're really just throwing strikes and playing defense. I mean, there's not, you know, a really exotic recipe to it. You know, Gary, you were around the program a lot, you know, back when things were really clicking, and I know that you know Will, but the thing that's been kind of surprising to me is how quickly they've really kind of taken on kind of his attitude towards things. I mean, and you can really see it in the way guys are playing. They just don't, there doesn't seem to be any nervousness, you know, if things aren't really clicking. And I think, you know, even though they do still have the toughest part of their schedule ahead of them, you know, I think this is a team that really, you know, is ready for that type of competition. So, you know, right now you're just kind of having to go out there, win series, and take care of your business, and that's what they've done. I know that a lot of people are, you know, wondering why Nebraska is not ranked, but, you know, that stuff will take care of itself if you keep running up wins. And, you know, I just think that, you know, they've really bought into what Will and his staff have kind of been preaching the last year or so. And the results that you're seeing this year, I think, are because of that.
And it's setting up where your last two weekends, you're going to play the best of the best in your conference and, of course, finish at home with Michigan. And before that, you know, Nebraska last Monday put in an aggressive offer to host a regional. But they're going to announce the regionals the week of May 10th. By then, Nebraska will still have not played Michigan or Indiana or Ohio State with a chance to improve their RPI. What do you put the chances of Nebraska getting a regional at?
Yeah, it's hard to say because, you know, the NCAA said that they're not going to necessarily factor in a record as much. I always kind of wonder when you start looking at, you know, regional host sites and stuff like that, it always seems like, you know, they at least want to have, you know, a northern school or a non-SEC school in the Midwest area host just to, you know, kind of ease the travel and that kind of thing. So I wonder if, you know, that ultimately works in Nebraska's favor if, you know, there's not a Big Ten school that makes sense. I know, you know, Michigan's obviously going to be right there, but Nebraska has the facility to do all the stuff they need to do with COVID testing, that they have the capacity where they could stretch people out. So I think maybe that plays in Nebraska's favor. I mean, it's a little bit awkward timing with them announcing earlier, because like you said, you won't have that series with Michigan. You won't know where Nebraska is going to finish in the Big Ten standings. But, you know, I think they can definitely make a pretty competitive bid to host just based on kind of the other stuff that I think the NCAA is going to look at this season. So I think it's, you know, a better than average chance they could do it. I think it especially helps if you can kind of take care of things the next couple of weeks and kind of make that win-loss record look a little better too.
Hey, safe to say that Fred's not messing around? He doesn't want to go through another season where they only win 7 games?
Yeah, I'd say that's safe to say. I mean, they've upgraded the talent once again. I mean, you've got the number 14 recruiting class in the country right now coming in, and that doesn't even factor your two transfers out of the Big East. So they've got guys that fit their style of play. I mean, I think they kind of maybe don't feel pressure, but I think Fred's kind of tired of the way the last couple of years have gone too on the court. I mean, he's a guy that's not really accustomed to losing games the way that they have.
Any quick thoughts on, he didn't get to play much last year, DePaul. He battled COVID, only played in 5 games. But any early impressions of where Keon Edwards will fit?
Yeah, he's kind of that guy, I think, that's perfect for Nebraska's offense. I mean, he's a lengthy wing that can shoot a little bit. He can play, you know, the 2 or the 3, maybe the 4, depending on matchups. And you know, that's kind of what, you know, works in Fred's offense. If you're a versatile player, you know, you're going to find a spot. You know, the fact that he did go to DePaul early, he's kind of understood what, you know, the rhythm of a college basketball season is, but, you know, you didn't have to give up that year. So it's a great add. I mean, it's another, you know, top 100 recruit that you're adding to the fold, which, I don't know, when you look at the recruiting rankings, it's kind of crazy that, you know, Nebraska's in there with some of the teams that they are, but they've really done a good job, I think, of selling this offense, selling a vision and a direction. Now it's just a matter of kind of putting it together on the floor and making it happen in the win-loss column.
You got to have the scholarship distribution chart for Nebraska basketball and pencil because it's changing quickly. Congratulations, by the way, on your A's. I thought they were done, but it's a nice little turnaround for you.
Yeah, 8 in a row. We're Billy Beans out driving around, not going to the stadium. They're looking good.
Great stuff. Great catching up with you on Saturday, and fine work by you, BC, and Schaaf, and we'll chat down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks, Gary. We'll see you around.
It's Michael Bruns from Husker 24/7 pinch hitting for Mike Schaefer, who is away on some personal business. Yeah, the A's have won 8 in a row. Beginning of the year was like, they're done. Now they've won 8 games. Weird standings. If you're picking up the standings today in Major League Baseball on the 9th of April, first of all, you're going to see the Royals are in first at 9-5. And you're going to look at the AL East, and you're going to go, is that Boston that is in first place? And the Yankees that are in last? Or look at the AL West and see Seattle, which has won 4 of 5 series. They're 10-6, and Kyle Lewis, last year's Rookie of the Year, is coming back shortly. They're in first. Yeah, weird start to the season. It's still early, but what a great start this past weekend. Unfortunately, everybody didn't get to see it with the San Diego Dodger series. It lived up to the hype. It's a rivalry that we needed. There's great players. There's great storylines. It delivered the drama. You had incidents. You had bench clearing stuff. You had late game drama. You had fantastic catches. Mookie Betts with an unreal ending on Saturday night with a game-saving catch to walk off against San Diego. It lived up to the hype. It was fantastic. And then yesterday, San Diego, you know, they avoided getting swept. I think the Dodgers, though, you know, Dodgers win the series. We haven't had a repeat champion in baseball since 2000. I think the Dodgers, this current group of Dodgers, and you have the NBA going on, you have the NHL going on, we got done with the NFL. I think the Dodgers are the best team in team sport in this country. They have so much depth and talent, and they actually are on a pace. It'll be, I don't think they'll ever reach this. They're on a pace to win 139 games. I mean, I thought 105 was good, but they're 13-3. They do play Seattle tonight. That'll be a great matchup for the Dodgers coming off their electric series with the Padres. And you know what? They hurt us, George, because a lot more of the series at Dodger Stadium this upcoming weekend is going to be on national TV, including baseball tonight. This upcoming Sunday, we'll have the Dodgers and the Padres from Chavez Ravine. I love that the Dodgers are going to make the Padres take it from them.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
And then, you know, the Padres Friday night, they had a slew of opportunities that they missed. But the series had everything. It was great. It was great. And we get it in a, you know, short turnaround. They play again on Thursday up in Los Angeles. All right, 1:24. Quick break. Come back with more. It looks like it's going to be a while before Nebraska and Texas play.
Yeah, because Pitt made a comeback and almost got it, but Washington pulled it out. They're going to a game five.
Yeah. So 45 minutes after that begins. Lauren Stiverns will dress for Nebraska today. She'll go through warm-ups, game time decision.
All right.
So that's good news for Nebraska if the All-American's on the floor. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.